And now we're going to go from food to books. Ralph Ellison accomplished what many authors only dream about. His first novel, Invisible Man, was released to rave reviews and left readers craving more. For years, critics and his devoted readers waited for a second novel, but it never came, at least while he was alive. Their wait is about to be over. That second book is set for release. But how it got from Ellison's notes to published work is a story in itself. And that journey is a feature story in this week's Washington Post Sunday Magazine. With us to talk about it is Washington Post style writer Will Haygood. He joins us here in our Washington studios. Welcome, or welcome back, I should say.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I'm sure most people listening to us have read Invisible Man or at least familiar with it, but could you just describe for people what a sensation it was and how it fits into the American literary canon?
Yeah. I think Ralph Ellison, when that book was published in 1952, about a figure who has to navigate the tripwires of American racism through Harlem, the South, and all the pain that he bumps up against. It was such a sensational novel, the first of its kind. It set Ralph Ellison on a mountaintop.
And I think it's never been out of print.
Nope.
And over the years, I think a mythology, quite a bit of mythology, has sort of built up about why Ellison never produced the second novel. And I think that after a while, when you started to think about it, it kind of didn't pass the smell test. I mean, of course, there was the manuscript that burned in a house fire, but then there were these stories about whether the fire was deliberately set. And I think that reasonable people could kind of look at that with some skepticism to say that maybe there was some burnishing in the image. So I wanted to ask you, Will, when you started this piece, did you think you'd be able to get to the bottom of it?
Not until I had extensive interviews with the co-editor of the forthcoming volume. Adam Bradley is a young scholar who was hired by the literary executor of the Ellison estate, John Callahan, to be an intern. This was many years ago. And Adam spent 14 years on this journey unraveling why so many months, seasons, winters, summers passed and still no novel. And then when Adam Bradley went into his own personal story and then he circled back, and then I started to better understand the root of the cause, I think.
It's a very complicated story. It's like its own mystery. It really is. But to the degree that you can kind of unpack it for us.
John Callahan was a young English literary professor at Lewis and Clark, had written Ralph Ellison a letter. Ellison was charmed by John Callahan's letter. He invited John Callahan to New York. They hit it off and they became lifelong friends. When Ralph Ellison died at the age of 80, he left no instructions behind about this unfinished novel that he had been working on, his follow-up to Invisible Man. He had been working on it for 40 years. Everybody was shocked that there were no instructions what to do with this novel. John Callahan was named literary executor of the Ellison estate and started piecing the work together. 1999, he published a sampling of that called Juneteenth. A lot of Ellison admirers were up in arms because they said, no, wait a minute. It's been 40 years. How dare you publish a mere 340-page novel? Where's the rest of the work
at? It was very controversial.
Yes.
Very controversial.
It was. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be so little after 40-plus years.
And Callahan, as you point out, I did not know this. I remember reading this and thinking, how could I have missed that? Callahan says what all along? It was never meant to be the definitive version. It was just meant to get something out there.
Right.
Yeah.
John Callahan said, in due time, maybe 3 years, I'll have a fuller version of this novel. Well, of course, that 3 years turned into 5, turned into 7, turned into 10, turned into 13. It became kind of like a haunting Ralph Ellison story itself.
It's like a curse.
Yes.
Adam Bradley, this intern you were telling us about, no longer an intern, obviously a scholar in his own right, started on this project as an intern, made a critical discovery. Tell me what that was.
Adam Bradley had gotten a hold of 80 floppy disks. Ralph Ellison went crazy. This was a monumental change. Ralph Ellison suddenly had the ability to write more faster. He didn't have writer's block. He had writer's fury. And so he started writing. He would write a chapter about the second novel, and then he would sit back and he would say, hey, what the hell? You know, I think I'll write 30 more pages about this character's background.
He was like a kid in a candy store. He was gorging
bizarre.
Himself on words.
He was. I mean, but he had a comfort zone. His thinking was, gee, why don't people just simply get the heck off my back? I'm writing the book in due time.
And let me do my thing. I'm playing with my computer.
Right. I'm creating art. Y'all read Invisible Man, so why try to stress me out? The book will be ready when it's ready. And that was how he looked at life.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the story behind the story of Ralph Ellison's upcoming second novel. With us is Washington Post style writer Will Haygood. So, Will, when all is said and done, have you read Juneteenth?
Yes, I read the
how is it?
That came out in 1999.
And yep. Is the second novel, the more complete version, also called Juneteenth?
No, it will be titled 3 Days Before the shooting. The co-editors, John Callahan and Adam Bradley, wanted to completely distance this new effort from the Juneteenth novel. This new production is kind of, I guess, what you might call a hybrid of a novel. It's a lot of Ellison's notes, manuscripts. It probably will be, you know, a thousand plus pages. It's really going to be a big epic offering about what Ralph Ellison was doing all those years on his three computers.
Well, final question. Do you think any book can meet 40 years of expectations?
Well, let me put it this way. If it were not Ralph Ellison, probably not. But because he just arrived on the literary scene and said, Hemingway, Saul Bellow, there's a new cat in town. And he stayed there. He stayed up on the stage, front and center, for years. You know, as he wrote in The Invisible Man, I speak to you on a different frequency. Maybe Ralph Ellison was speaking to us on a different frequency. Sadly, it came at 40-year intervals.
Okay. Will Haygood is a writer with the Washington Post Style section. He wrote this week's Washington Post Sunday Magazine cover story about Ralph Ellison's second novel. You can read the article in its entirety on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Will, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
And when you finish that 1,000 pages, why don't you come on back and talk to us about that?
I will do that.